It is almost the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, 100 years from Armistice Day, Remembrance Day. And that is today, which we remember 1918, when the First World War came to an end. The war to end all wars, they said. And yet you can't stop the war in the human heart. And the way to stop the war in the human heart is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we remember. We remember those who have given their lives for our nation, for freedom, and to give us the opportunity that we have had in our lives in this country. So we're very thankful for that, for those who have served. Some have died, some have suffered, some have lived on for many years, but they served to provide the opportunity for freedom for you and I, the future generations that would arise. And so we need to be thankful. But we're also thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we might be free from the tyranny of war between heaven and hell. And so one day we will be totally free from that, but we're thankful that it's the cross of Christ that brings that freedom to us. So let's give thanks as we pause for a moment to remember. Our Father, we thank you this morning as we look back. We thank you for those who have served in the armed forces, those who served to defend this nation and other nations, to provide freedom, freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression. And we thank you for those who have given their lives, those who suffered injury during those times, and those who have lived a life with memories of trauma for many years following those difficult times of war. For those who have served in war since that time, because it was not the war that ended all wars, we know that war continues on while we live in a sinful world. But we thank you so much for those who have defended the freedoms of individuals and countries. Lord, we thank you again this morning for our Saviour, the one we've just been singing about, who has provided freedom for those who will put their faith and trust in him. Through his death and resurrection, we have our sins forgiven and we have life everlasting. We have a relationship with you restored to the way that you intended it to be. We thank you that we can reflect every day on all the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we come to reflect on a life in him, help us to focus our thoughts on what you want to say to us through your word this morning. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Life-changing choices. We continue our series and we're up to, I think it's the sixth choice, if I remember rightly, that we are looking at today. Choices that we make. Every one of us makes choices every day. And this morning, as I've said often, we make choices from getting out of bed in the morning to what we eat for breakfast to what we wear. Endless choices. The most significant choice, of course, is what we do with Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at numerous choices. First five choices we looked at is, I choose to receive God's love, recognizing who he is and what he has done for us, that he has sent his Son to give his life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We must choose to receive his love, to receive all that comes in the person of Jesus Christ. And that leads to the second choice. I choose to receive God's forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. We have sinned against God, and we deserve punishment eternally for ignoring and rejecting God and doing our own selfish thing. But God is offering forgiveness to us through Jesus Christ, his Son, who bore the punishment for us. And then I choose to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of the universe, but we must receive him as Lord. We must allow him to be Lord in our lives by surrendering our lives to him as both Saviour and Lord. And then fourthly, I choose the Bible as God's Word. If Jesus is Lord, then it makes sense that we would choose to submit ourselves to his Word and the authority of his Word in our lives. And then fifthly, as we looked at last week, I choose to forgive. Holding on to forgiveness only leads to bitterness and spiritual dryness, so forgiveness is our only option if we are to enjoy a relationship with God and with other people around us. And so this morning we're looking at the sixth choice. I choose to trust. I choose to trust. How often do we allow our thoughts to run off into the future and ponder what might happen or what could happen? And the more we think about the possibilities and the uncertainties, the more our thoughts begin to race and begin to lead us into anxieties about the future. We allow dark clouds to form in our minds, and they seem so close that we are sure that it will start to rain soon. But no, the uncertainties never seem to arise as we see them, and they only hang in the distance as clouds of judgment, casting a shadow over my enjoyment of what is in the here and now. The clouds are just far enough around the corner so that nothing can be done about them, and yet they loom large to us. It can often happen at night time if we find ourselves lying awake in bed, unable to sleep, that our minds go flying off into the future, or else they dwell on some mistake of the past. You see, God has not designed us to cope with carrying the mistakes of the past and the worries of the future. We don't have that capacity to carry that much baggage. And last week we spoke about the importance of dealing with the baggage of the past through forgiveness. Today we're looking at why trying to carry the baggage of tomorrow is also unhealthy and unhelpful for us. The place where our thoughts need to be is placed on today, which is the only thing we have guarantee of. We live in the present, the here and the now. You and I are here today, but we don't know whether we will have a tomorrow, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And so the danger of lingering long on tomorrow, even though we are instructed and invited to plan our lives and to plan ahead in our lives, and there's no wrong in doing that, but it's when we dwell on the uncertainties of tomorrow which often can bring anxieties that cause the grief to us. And Jesus has numerous words on anxiety, and Matthew chapter 6 is a classic passage which deals with that, which Sam read to us a moment ago. And just looking at the last verse of that section of Scripture, Matthew 6, 34, says, "Therefore, do not worry or do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I wonder if you ever start thinking, "I don't have enough on my mind today. I'm going to borrow some trouble from tomorrow just to give my mind something to worry about." Most of us don't plan to think that way. The word trouble in Jesus' statement is a is a word which means adverse circumstances or problems or hardship. Adverse circumstances, problems or hardship. I think we can agree with Jesus that each day has enough of its own trouble. What Jesus is saying, in effect, is you can't carry the weight of the past, that is what forgiveness is for, and you can't carry all the uncertainties of the future. You must focus on today. Let's deal with what we know to be true today and not worry about what might never happen tomorrow. And that's a challenge which sometimes almost seems too great for us. But when we keep dwelling on tomorrow, on the future, and think how bad it is and how terrifying it is, there are three dangerous emotions that will flood your mind. The first one, two that we mention here are really two similar words. The first one is worry. It comes from an old German word that means to choke. And as your mind drifts to the potential woes of tomorrow, worry about the future strangles your happiness, your joy, and your peace. That's what worry does. It strangles your happiness, your joy, and your peace. As James MacDonald says, your soul begins to hyperventilate when we spend time worrying about the future. The second emotion that floods into our thinking is one of fear. This is more of a foreboding of something that is coming, and it's not good. Fear is like a magnifying glass, enlarging everything that we look at. And fear takes a possible threat and blows it out of all proportion. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Apostle Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we have fear about the future, we've chosen it for ourselves. And we've chosen it instead of trusting. It's important to keep that in mind as you think about the future. If fear begins to pervade you, Jesus says that that's not what we are designed for, to fear. And so our focus is in the wrong place if fear is pervading our mind. The third emotion that rises when we focus too much on the future is anxiety. Similar to worry, but anxiety means to divide the mind. Anxiety develops when your mind switches back and forth from the future to the present so much that you can't focus on anything of value. And so your mind gets trapped in this cycle of flicking backwards and forwards, wondering about what's tomorrow holding and what am I supposed to do today, that it may be nearly impossible to break that cycle. We were not made for worry, for fear, or anxiety. It's destructive to our minds, to our hearts, and to our souls. And when we tremble about tomorrow, it causes us misery inside. And that's why Jesus continually reminds us in this passage and in others that sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We don't need to borrow from tomorrow to cause ourselves grief today. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I don't even know whether you've ever heard of a lady called Mary John Wilkins. She grew up in a Christian home in Texas where her parents loved the Lord and raised her well. As a teen, she moved to Nashville where she became one of the big names in country music. She wrote songs for Johnny Cash and Charlie Pride and Patsy Cline and Glen Campbell. Some of those you've never heard of, but some of you older people would have, and many others as well. But despite her fame, she, By the time she turned 50, she was a wreck. She was consumed with fear about the future. And that fear drove her to alcohol. And alcohol drove her to multiple suicide attempts. And when life finally got desperate enough, she remembered the God that she'd left behind. And so Mary John found a church and met with a pastor who opened God's word with her and directed her back to a life of faith. And she realised she couldn't go on being consumed by anxiety and fear. And so she left that pastor's office and went home and surrendered her life to the Lord again. She then wrote one of the most famous country songs of all time. It has been recorded by hundreds of singers and in several different versions, and I'm sure you would have heard of it. It goes like this: "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time." As she surrendered to the Lord, she had realized the importance of choosing to trust God for the now and leaving the future in his hands. Mary John Wilkins died in 2006 at the age of 86. She was happy, contented, alcohol-free, committed Christian, trusting God with her future. God made you to focus on the things that you can affect, to work on the things that you can change and improve, the things that are right in front of you, the things of today. You can't carry the burdens of yesterday or the worries of tomorrow. God didn't design you for that. You have to trust him today and trust the future to his care, because he holds the future in his hands. If you're going to be free from worry, you have to believe wholeheartedly that you cannot control the future. Jesus told us to not worry about tomorrow, but let it worry about itself. Fear focuses on what you cannot control, and worry keeps you from doing what you can do today to affect a better future. Worry chokes your ability to make good choices today. So consider for a moment some areas that you cannot control in your future. I can't control my health future. I might get cancer. I might have a heart attack. I might have a car accident. I can do things to help me keep fit and well, but I can't control what might happen to my health. I can't control my family's future. Something might happen to my family that is totally outside of my control. Sickness, choices they make. I can't control others. I can't control my financial future. All that I own, all that I work for, to save for, all my possessions, all my money can all disappear and dry up in an instant. I can try and make responsible decisions with my money and my possessions, but I can't control what happens ultimately. I can't control my society's future. We live in dark times. Temptation is everywhere. I can't control the moral climate that we live in. I can have an influence on the politicians by the way I vote or submissions that I might make to them, but I personally can't control my society. And I can't control the church. You might say that there are some things about church that I just don't like. If I had my way, I'd change it all. I don't like the songs. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the morning tea. Well, you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and this church is not perfect. And there's quite likely some things that you don't like. But you and I can choose to trust God to do what he wants to do in his church, and how he wants us to be a witness to the world in which we live. The reality is, I can't control the future. But don't let that stop you from doing what you need to be doing. Don't let that paralyze you. Because by trusting Jesus for the present means that we can do what we are meant to do and have an influence where we're meant to have an influence and have an impact where we're meant to have an impact if we concentrate on what we can be and do in Jesus Christ today. We can vote, we can pray, we can speak up, we can be loving and kind, we can do our best as employees or as employers, we can serve in the church and give ourselves to what God wants us to be and to do in his church. So don't worry about the things that you cannot change. Be concerned about doing what you can with the things that you can change. The consequences of trying to control our future can be devastating. It will cause anxiety and worry and fear. And the physical side of those effects of those emotions are serious. People get high blood pressure, they get ulcers from too much worry and other serious health issues. We're not intended to be focused on the future and trying to control it. I will always face uncertainty. Sometimes people think that if we can just work these things out in my life to get everything humming together and working together so well, that life will be just hunky-dory and all will go well for the rest of my life. But the reality is that we'll always face uncertainty. There will always be storms in our life. There will always be problems. There will be financial problems. There will be people problems. We can't avoid that, but it's where we take our uncertainty and our problems that really matters. Whether we take it upon ourselves to bear this burden or to give it over to the Lord and say it's in your care. That is the challenge for us as to what we do with the uncertainty of the future. There's a great example of the uncertainties of life and the problems that face us in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 to 27. This is an ordinary day in the life of Jesus as he went about his ministry around Galilee. Matthew 8, 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest or a storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples, and there arose a great storm. The two words "great storm" can be literally translated as mega and seismic. Mega and seismic. This was a mega seismic storm. That speaks for itself. The Sea of Galilee was noted for the storms that blew up so suddenly, almost unpredictably. And as these disciples and Jesus were in the boat, the waves were swamping the boat, it says. And then just a little aside after that says Jesus was asleep in the boat. And the question we must ask is this: Did not Jesus know that the storm would arise? So why didn't he wait before he went into the boat to cross the Sea of Galilee? Did he not check the weather app before? Yes, he knew the storm was coming. Yet he led them right into it. Jesus could have stopped the storm before it started, and yet he let the storm come. So we could safely say that Jesus wanted the storm to come. He wanted to use the storm as a tool in the life of his disciples. So let's understand that clearly. As James MacDonald puts it, he says, Jesus sometimes disguises exciting opportunities for personal growth as difficult circumstances. Jesus sometimes disguises exciting opportunities for personal growth as difficult circumstances. We usually are looking from the bottom up, aren't we? We're looking at the difficult circumstances and we don't always appreciate that they are exciting opportunities for personal growth. Because we would choose to avoid the trials at all costs, but Jesus sees the bigger picture. And so here we see the contrast between faith and doubt. Jesus goes to sleep in the boat, perfectly happy with the situation, with the storm brewing. The disciples, on the other hand, are in a state of panic, believing they will probably drown. But this was a great opportunity for Jesus to show his disciples that life with him is not storm-free. In fact, sometimes the storms are greater for believers than they are for unbelievers. You and I will always have storms. They are part of life. Whenever we think that life is humming along so well, there will be another storm approaching your life. It's the way life is. Yet it also gives opportunity for God to show us something great. It also shows that he is fully in control, so therefore we can trust him. And it showed the disciples here that they could trust in this Jesus, the one they were following. And to the disciples' credit, they did the right thing. They turned to Jesus immediately. They shouted at him, Lord, save us. We are perishing. The disciples' response was to take their grave problem to the Lord. Imagine verse 24, if it read like this, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but Jesus was asleep, but four of the disciples drowned. See, that would have changed all of the Gospels, wouldn't it, if that had happened? Changed the whole story. But that didn't happen because Jesus was in control. He knew what was happening. Even when he was asleep, he knew what was happening. He was in charge of the storm, and the storm didn't catch him by surprise. And so it is with your storms and my storms. We might be like the disciples and crying out in panic, but do we turn to someone else? Do we look to ourselves? Do we look to our bank balance? Do we look to our abilities, or do we look to the Lord? The disciples were fearful and doubting, but Jesus, when he was called upon, calmly responds to them and stills the storm. And there was calm. This lesson about teaching the disciples to trust in Jesus is everything. Because they thought they knew everything about fishing, everything about boats, everything about the Sea of Galilee, and everything about storms. But still they had to learn where to put their trust. In the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that is where you and I must choose to put our trust if we don't want the fears and the worries and the anxieties of tomorrow to consume us. Sufficient until the day is the evil thereof. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So where will you put your trust? Will you choose to trust in Jesus Christ, the master of the storms? Or will you look to your own devices to try and bundle your way through? The Bible calls us to trust in him because he knows the past, but he also knows the future. And he died for our past and the future so that we might experience forever with him. So let's choose to trust our future into his care. Let's pray. Father, we know that tomorrow looks so close. It's just around the corner. Or even next year doesn't look that far away. It's only a few weeks. And so, Lord, it's easy for us to wonder and ponder and then worry and get anxious about tomorrow and about next year and about next decade. To worry about our health, to worry about our finances, to worry about our job, to worry about our family. Lord, I pray that you help us to realise that worrying doesn't solve the problems. It only adds to the problems. Anxiety and worry and fear cause detriment to our life. And Lord, we know that so well, and yet sometimes we just get caught up in turning our eyes off you and then looking towards the issues that are facing us. Lord, we confess that we desperately need you. We're sorry for when we've failed you, Lord, and turned away from you and sinned against you. Lord, help us even today to freshly rely upon you, to trust in you. Not allow tomorrow's concerns to become worries and anxieties for us. Well, thank you that you know everything and you do hold the future in your care. And so we want to trust ourselves into your care and our future with that. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our last song this